Hello and welcome to the Crystal River Church of God podcast, where you will find focus for a living.
Hallelujah. I want to talk to you for a little while tonight on the subject, the power belongs to God. The power belongs to God. Hallelujah. In the book of Ephesians chapter 6, when you get there, say amen. Amen. The Bible says, finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord and in the power of His might. Put on the whole armor of God. Not just a little bit, not just the helmet of salvation. That's what most people put on. But all of it. That you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we do not wrestle against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of this age, against spiritual hosts of wickedness in the heavenly places. Therefore, take up the whole armor of God. Do you see, within three verses, he tells you to put on the whole armor of God. And one says that you may be able to withstand the wiles of the devil. Now this one says, so that you may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand. When you've done all that you know to do, do what you know to do some more. Boy, that's not very encouraging, is it? Well, I tell you, I've done all I know to do. Then keep doing it. Stand, therefore, having girded your waist with truth, having put on the breastplate of righteousness, and having shod your feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace, above all, taking the shield of faith, with which you will be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked one, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the Word of God. Praying always. Let that sink in. Praying always. With all prayer and supplication in the Spirit. Being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for all the saints. Father, I pray that you would bless the reading of your word. I pray, God, that you would help us to not only discern your word, but let us disseminate your word into our lives and our spirit that we may live better lives, a better understanding, so that we can live the abundant life you said that we could have. Because we understand the enemy has come to steal, kill, and destroy, but you came that I may have life and that I may have it more abundantly. And Lord, we recognize that all the power on heaven and earth, it belongs to you. It is not ours. We do not control it, but we do have the ability to channel that power through our lives and help us tonight to begin to be conduits of your word, of your will, and of your power in Jesus' name. And the church said, amen. Now the devil uses inroads, any inroad that he can find, he will use to infiltrate our lives. Now let me just help some of you. Some of you give the devil too much ammunition to use. Because in one breath, you blessing God, and another breath, you cursing. At one point in time, you talking about how good God is, and the next thing, vile, vile things are coming out of your mouth. The Bible said that sweet and bitter water shouldn't come or can't come out of the same well. Now, so what that tells me is that some people, and I talked with a young man earlier today, but that tells me that there's a lot of people who've made a decision to follow Christ, but hasn't gone on into becoming a disciple of Christ, because a decision for Christ, you made a conscious decision to serve God. But until you begin to get the Word of God in you and the Spirit of God in you and the will of God in you, then your life is not going to change the way that the God wants it to change. Paul said it like this: I beseech you therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy and acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. Romans 12:1. And then verse 2 says, be not conformed to this world, but be you transformed by the renewing of your mind. You, in order to renew your mind, you got to put something new in your mind that wasn't always there. You were born with the DNA of a sinful nature. You were born with the DNA of the enemy of your life in you. But when you got born again, your DNA began to change. However, you got to feed the right DNA in your life. Are you feeding your flesh or are you feeding your spirit? Because that is the difference whether you walk in victory or not. Because if you're feeding your spirit, it doesn't matter what happens to you or what happens around you, come hell or high water, you know who you are, you know whose you are, and you know that God is going to help you get through whatever may come your way, and you can continue to give God glory, give God praise, even in the midst of going through hell. Oh, I'm preaching better than you're amening. But we are the ones with authority. In the spiritual battle, you and I are the ones with authority. There is no reason to fear the devil if you're a child of God. I'm going to say it again. If you're a child of God, there's no reason for you to fear the devil. There's no reason, because fear is the exact opposite of faith. That when you're in fear, you're not in faith. And when you're in faith, you can't be in fear. Can you say amen? But just remember that just as fear brings evil things, so does faith bring to pass the things that God has planned for us. See, the devil attacks our faith, because if we have faith in what God said, then we're going to believe for the good things to come into our life and not just the evil things. Now, here's the problem with Pentecostals. The problem is we think that all we've got to do is just believe. That if I believe that I'm blessed, it doesn't matter that I don't manage my money. If I believe I'm blessed, it doesn't matter that I don't treat my spouse right. It don't matter that I don't do the things that need to happen in order for that blessed life to continue. Pentecostals believe I'm blessed, and so therefore nothing else matters. No, you are blessed by God, but you've got to position yourself for the kingdom of God to operate as a conduit through your life. If God can get it through you, He can get it to you. So you've got to position yourself to do the right things, to line up behind the line of blessing and say, God, I'm going to do those things which are conducive to you flowing through my life. Faith apprehends those things made available to us through the blood of Jesus. We are, my God, we are the establishing witness who can choose what's going to manifest in my life. Did you get that? I don't think some of you did. Either that or you're really tired. That we have the ability to establish what's going to manifest in our life. If evil is always manifesting in your life, then you feed evil too much. If evil always, you know, if you walk around, and I know what this, I know what I'm talking about because I used to. If you walk around thinking, well, I wonder what bad's going to happen next. Guess what? Whatsoever you believe for, you shall receive. At some point in time, you need to get your nose in the Bible and begin to realize who you are in Christ. Who God says you are, not what your crowd that you used to hang with says you are, not what the folks down the street said you are, but what does God say you are, and quit answering to what everybody else says about you and begin to answer to what God says about you, because what God says about you is more important than what anybody else says about you. Establish the witness. And let God's will manifest in your life. Point number one is this. Tapping into God's strength and peace gives us access to His power. Access. Tapping into God's strength and peace gives us access to His power. See, some people think that weakness or meekness is weakness. But they're two different things. Weakness is not having the ability to change. Meekness is having the ability to destroy, but choosing not to. There's a huge difference. Meekness is letting somebody else win. Can I just help you to make somebody's day? Let me just do this random act of kindness tomorrow. Let somebody win. Let somebody else win other than you. What do you mean? You know how we get, how we start talking sometimes, and we'll start talking about different things. Oh, you think that's bad? Let me tell you about this. And we'll try to one up each other. Well, I'll tell you what. You know, my kids are rocket science. Oh, really? Well, my kids, you know, a brain surgeon. Oh, really? Well, my kids made the brain. You know, I mean, we just get stupid. Why don't you just give them something? Give them something. Every once in a while, you ain't got to be the best at everything. And your children, just let them have it. And you'll just have a good sense about yourself. Because you'll say, I could have beat that, but I ain't going to even do it. And they feel good because they go away thinking, I beat them. Just give them one every once in a while. Tapping into God's strength and peace. Now, we want to talk about God's strength, but what about His peace? I don't know about you, but I would give up some strength in order to have some peace. Because I don't care how strong you are, if you don't have any peace, you don't have any rest. And if you don't have any rest, eventually how strong you are is going to go out the window. But if you've got the peace of God, that's what we need. All right? We do that by putting on God's armor. We got to be strong in God and in the power of His might, but we do that by putting on the armor of God. Now, we cannot trust in our own strength because the power belongs to God, but we make use of it. The power belongs to God, and we make use of it. I mean, let me just break that down to you. My daughter is in college. She don't have a job. The money belongs to me, but she just makes use of it. Right? That's really the way it is. I mean, if you get that concept, that's going to, you know, if you've ever had a kid in college, you know that concept. But then turn around and go, yes, Lord. Because my daughter will call me. I have, oh God, boy, this is good. Hang on. I have already preset what my daughter can use, and she don't even have to call me because I put a certain amount of money every week in her account. It's like she gets paid every Monday. Why Monday? Because I ain't no fool. Because some of y'all still struggle because you get paid on Friday. Mm-hmm. And by Monday, you ain't got no money. Well, she gets paid on Monday. And she don't even sweat it. She just goes, but when she needs something more than what I have provided for her. My God. I was talking with her the other day. We were traveling. Where was it? Yesterday. And she said, Daddy, I've got this retreat for my leadership team coming up. And she said, I was wondering if I could go. I said, okay, she's been in college now 3 years. I know what that means. That means she wants me to pay for it. So I said, how much is it? She said, well, Daddy, it's $100. And I didn't tell him I could go yet until I checked with you. Because I can't do it on my own. The money that you give me doesn't go that far. And so I was just wondering if I could go. And I said to her, tell them you can go and I'll put the money in your account tomorrow. So she was able to go tell them I can go, not because I have the money, but because my father has it and he's putting it in the account for me to use. My God, somebody hear me. You might not have the power. The power belongs to God. But you can look at the devil and say, I don't have the strength to come against you. I don't have the power to come against you. But my Father which is in heaven, who has given me all authority and all power, he is putting it in my account today. And he said, if I bind you on earth, you shall be bound in heaven. And whatsoever I loose on earth shall be loosed. That's what your Father is doing. That's what your Father in heaven is doing. God has supplied us with all the power we need. But we must flip the switch. This is called using our spiritual authority. All right? Spending time in the Word is donning on our spiritual armor. You know, people think that preachers and people, you know, quote unquote religious people want you to read this word so you'll be in bondage. No, it's just the opposite. You read this, you get out of bondage. You read this, you begin going, wait a minute. Excuse my French, but I don't have to put up with the crap that the devil's throwing at my way. I do not have to put up with this junk anymore. I'm not going to allow the devil to run roughshod over me any longer. I'm not going to allow the devil to tell me that I'm less than when I know who I am. But the problem with us is we don't know who we are because we haven't read his last will and testament. So therefore, we don't know. Well, but Brother Reed, I just don't understand it. You got to have a college degree to understand. No, you don't. Just get a version you understand. They got the English version. They got the Amplified version. They got the New King James version. They got the New Living Translation. They got the NIV, the SIV, the OV, the EV, the IOE, the AEIOU. I mean, they got all kind of versions. Well, but wait a minute, preacher. They leave some stuff out. That's absolutely correct. Some of them versions do leave some stuff out. This cometh not but by prayer and fasting is not in the NIV. That's why I use King James Version, the one Jesus used. Get you one that you can understand. And here's a concept. There are some of them that have study guides with them. What a concept. If I were to tell you that I was going to put $100 in this cage, but there's an instruction manual to teach you how to get inside the cage, you would tear that instruction manual up reading it. Right? Yeah. Oh, well, some of you might not. What about $1,000? Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Now, if you a dude like myself, I would try to do it before reading the instruction manual. All right, how many other people would do that? My wife better raise her hand because you know you look at a picture. My wife didn't even raise her hand. You know you look at a picture. I don't know why this thing's left. They gave me four extra parts, but I don't understand why it don't work. But I will say, most of the time, she can figure it out. But then sometimes I got to come and read the instruction manual, right? And you know what? Sometimes the instruction manual is not very exciting. But my Lord, when you read the instruction manual with the excitement of what you're about to get to use or have, it changes your perspective on the instruction manual. My God. Now let me ask you this. I only know two people in my lifetime. How many has ever bought a new car and read the instruction manual from cover to cover? Are you kidding me? Come on, keep your hands raised. There was like six. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. You bunch of losers. Alan, I'm going to be honest. I thought you were going to be one of them, bro. I didn't know what you were going to do. I thought it was going to be him. Mary? And I'll tell you why they read it. Because they wanted to get everything out of that car that they bought. You know what? There are people who paid extra for features that you still haven't used. I got somebody hear me. I'm preaching. I don't even know if you're getting it. I'll do some things in my wife's car. And she's like, how'd you do that? And I'll tell her, what's right here? It can do that? Yeah, it can do that. I love, Lauren was driving my car when she was learning how to drive. She was driving my car, and it was raining, and she was very nervous. And I reached up there and cut on the windshield wiper for the back. And she went, oh, oh. Woo. She said, Daddy, you got to show me where that button's at. Can I tell you that there's some buttons you ain't learned to push yet? There's some buttons, but if you will get into the user manual, my God, somebody hear me, that if you'll get into the user's manuals, there's some things that'll help you get on down the street. There's some things that'll help you stay out of trouble. There's some things that'll help you keep on driving when you're in the middle of a storm. If you'll just get into the manual and find out what button use does what. What's my next one, Liz? Everything bad that happens to us is a result of a spiritual influence or stupid decision.
I don't know why bad things happen to me.
I do, because you keep making stupid decisions. Some of it ain't spiritual, right? But it is a spiritual influence that makes you want to just try to coast through life. I had somebody the other day tell me that, you know, Pastor, I just can't, I can't go forward. It seems like I take two steps forward and three steps back. I just can't get ahead. And then turned around and told me how much they spend on drugs. I was like, dude, what you spend on drugs is my salary for the year. You can't get ahead? I just want to go stamp. I want to have a moron sign and just stamp them, moron. God's thoughts and his plans for us are to have peace and not evil, to give us a bright future. Jeremiah 29:11, we all know that. His plans are good to give us hope in our final outcome. God wants to give us his peace. The God of peace will bruise the devil under our feet, and Jesus will bring us grace. Romans 16:20. But here's what you got to know. God created you in his image. And if I'm not, please don't think that I'm discounting this. But it is an epidemic in America of people dealing with anxiety. It is an epidemic. I mean, it's bad when our teenagers are dealing with anxiety. When not, it goes beyond that. When you have elementary kids dealing with anxiety. Amen. Let me just give you one thing. Some small kids deal with anxiety because you tell them too much. Your kids don't need to know everything. Your kids don't need to know that you can't afford groceries this week. I tell you what. I can't remember. Oh my goodness, I can see us. What's the old baby? What's the old black minister? He was a Baptist guy. Remember, he had the big two security guards on him. Evie Hill. He and his wife had just gotten married, and she was handling their finances, and they were preaching and pastoring. And he come home one night, and man, she had dinner on the table, and had candles all around. He's like, "Well, check this out." He was telling the story. He says she had candlelight dinner, had him a bath drawn with candles in there. He's like, "Woo, somebody getting lucky tonight." Come to find out, they didn't have enough money to pay the light bill. And she didn't want him to feel bad about it when he come home from a long day at work. Oh, somebody hear me. I'm trying to teach you something. You don't need to tell your kids everything. You ain't got to explain everything to your kids. Some things they don't need to know. They're not built to know. Let me move on a little bit further. I felt that cold wave I hit right there. So I got to move on to point two. Point two is this: the fruit of the Spirit and the fruits of the flesh are on the opposite ends of the spectrum. The fruit of the Spirit and the fruits of the flesh are at the opposite ends of the spectrum. Peace, now you can find the fruit of the Spirit in Galatians 5, but peace is one of the fruits of the Spirit. And we ought to have peace. And what does the devil love? He loves messing with your peace. I hate him. I do too. But he loves messing with your peace. If he can get your peace in your finances, if he can't get it there, he'll get it in your relationship. If he can't get it in your relationship, he'll get it in your children. If he can't get it there, he'll get it on the job. He wants your peace disrupted. Other fruits include love, joy, long-suffering, gentleness, goodness, faith, self-control. Against such, there is no law, the Bible says. Avoid rioting. Avoid drunkenness. Avoid envy. See, as children of God, we're to be examples. If your life is a Jerry Springer episode, you got to start asking yourself the question. Why? Maybe you need to eliminate some folk in your life. Right? You ain't got to be ugly. You can just kind of distance yourself. I don't need that drama all up in my life. Because if you will let people, there was a woman, and she used to go to church. I don't think she goes no more. I don't know. But I don't care either. But on this particular one anyway. Because my wife and I was on vacation for Christmas vacation, seeing family, and she wanted to meet with us. And so I meet with people. I still counsel people, but she wanted to meet with both of us. And that don't happen a lot, but she wanted to meet with both of us at the same time. And she started out by saying, "Well, I'm very upset with both of you. Man, we've been on vacation. We've been chilling. What you upset over?" "Well, because you left town and I needed to talk to y'all. And y'all went on vacation. And my wife..." "My wife went into black mode. Started shaking her head. and said, let me tell you one thing. We ain't going to apologize for going on vacation. Because we ain't gonna lose our marriage or our family over you and your problem. And I just looked, I said, boy, if she hadn't been in there, I think we'd have chest bumped. I mean, I was like, dang, come on, girl. But the problem is you let anybody and everybody disturb your peace. But there are some battles you're called to fight. But there are some battles you ain't called to fight. You can't fight everybody's battles. Because they'll tell you their problem, and they off scalloping. And you at home praying. They out sunning the fun. Funning the sun. You home praying. Are you hearing me? So, thank you. Let me tell you what. Sometimes these are the worst things in our lives. Because there's no way of getting away. You know one of the reasons I love taking cruises? Because I don't have this. I love taking cruises because I won't pay for the Wi-Fi. Because I'm a little cheap in that area. But I don't want the Wi-Fi. Well, what if we need you? Y'all better call somebody. Right? Y'all can call the ship. They'll get a hold of me. It's just expensive. And you ever notice that people want it to cost you, not them? I can tell I'm losing some of y'all right now. I don't know what he's talking about. He's on my last nerve right now, I'll tell you right now. The Bible teaches us to avoid rioting, drunkenness. But I just drink wine coolers. Drunkenness. That's why I just drink wine. Drunkenness. Strife. Envy. Make no provision for the flesh, but put on Jesus. Write this scripture down, Romans 13:13. It says, because we belong to the day, we must live decent lives for all to see. Don't participate in the darkness of wild parties and drunkenness. Or in sexual promiscuity and immoral living or in quarreling. If you always fight, maybe you need to get saved. Jealousy. Instead, verse 14, here's what he said. Instead, clothe yourself with the presence of the Lord Jesus Christ. And don't let yourself think about ways to indulge your evil desires. That's a good word right there. Now that's read from the Amplified Version. But don't indulge in the evil desires. Well, bless God, I don't have any. Well, bless your little heart. I'm proud of you today. Because I have some from time to time. Amen. If you live in this fallen world, you're going to have some evil desires from time to time. And well, Pastor, what am I going to do? You can't stop birds from flying over your head, but you can stop them from building a nest in your head. So you can't stop evil desires from coming, but you can stop letting them get a hold of you and go, oh, no. I'm a child of the living God. I have no part with that because I'm bought by the blood of Jesus Christ. Somebody ought to say amen. We should not let the enemy rob us of the fruit of the Spirit by replacing it with the fruit of the flesh. Because once you do, the power is not in your life. The work of the flesh includes adultery, fornication, uncleanliness, lasciviousness, idolatry, witchcraft, hatred, inconsistencies, emulations, wrath, strife, seditions, heresies. Galatians 5, 19 and 20. Strife is a work of the flesh. Do you know that? I mean, I know folks who just live to stir up strife. I ain't got no time for them. Do nothing through strife, the Bible says in Philippians 2, 3. Our mindset should be esteeming others, putting them before us. Envy and strife, listen to me, envy and strife usher in confusion. Envy and strife. James 3:16 says, for where envy and self-seeking exist, confusion and every evil thing are there. Did you catch that? Some of y'all are like, the Bible really says that stuff like that? Yeah, you ought to read it. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, willing to yield, full of mercy, good fruits, without partiality, without hypocrisy. Now the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace by those who make peace. We are people of peace, and we have dominion over strife. Point three. I'm doing pretty good, I think. Yeah, I got 15. I'm done. What we contemplate and meditate on is eventually confessed verbally for good or bad. What you contemplate and meditate on is eventually confessed verbally for good or bad. And what that simply means is whatever things you think on eventually begin to come out of your mouth. Here's what the Word of God says in Proverbs, that whatever a man thinketh, so is he. Whatever you think on, you eventually become. Let me tell you something. Nobody, you know, anybody, don't point at nobody, but anybody ever heard somebody say this? Well, I'm not sure what happened. I just fell into sin. I don't know what happened. I was just walking down the road. Do-do-do-do-do. And then, bloop, fell in a manhole of sin. No, it don't happen that way, man. It don't happen that way. You don't just walk down the road and then, bloop, fall into sin. Well, I just ran smack dab into sin. No, you didn't. You was walking down the road and sin caught your eye. And then probably somewhere along the line, the next day, you was looking for that sin that caught your eye. And then somewhere along the line, you passed it and then turned the car around and pulled up to that sin and started thinking about that sin, contemplating that sin, and eventually give in to that sin. Now listen, I've been doing this now. Man, I'm getting old, Dave. Boy, I would hit you right in the forehead with this microphone. Eventually, I've been doing this 26 years. I've been pastoring 20, that's a long time. That's older than you are. Boy. 26 years. And I have counseled with, I would say, at over 100 couples who's had affairs, adultery. And trust me, not a one of them said, well, Pastor, I don't know what happened. Well, no, let me rephrase that. Most of them go, well, I don't know what happened. You didn't just wake up one day. Think I'm going to commit adultery today. No. It started adrift. You ask any alcoholic. Ask anybody. Hey, how many ex-alcoholics we got in the building? Come on. Are you asking some of them? Hey, some of them didn't raise their hand because I didn't say that. How many alcoholics do we have? I said ex-alcoholics. Yeah, yeah, yeah. But you go to any alcoholic and they'll never say, when did you become an alcoholic? They'll say, well, you know what? I just woke up one day and decided I was going to be one. You know, I see my uncle, he was an alcoholic. I thought, you know, one day I want to be an alcoholic. No. It started with one. Everything starts somewhere with one. But here's what I want you to catch, and I'm trying to close. Here's what I want you to catch. That the Bible said that Jesus was tempted in every way, yet knew no sin. So just because you're tempted doesn't mean that you've sinned. Because some people go, well, I was tempted, I just decided I might as well give in. No, there's a huge difference. I've been tempted to slap some folk, but I didn't. Now, they're much better that I didn't, and I am too, because they probably would have fought back, right? So at some point in time, just because you thought it didn't mean that you sinned, but you can't hold on to it. Whatever you contemplate and meditate on, eventually you will confess. Verbally, good or bad. And then Proverbs says that life and death are in the power of your tongue. You begin to think about it. You begin to speak it. And the next thing you know, you done went and done it. We must set nothing wicked. Here's what Psalms 101:3 says. I will set nothing wicked before my eyes. I hate the work of those who fall away. It shall not cling to me. See, in the Old Testament, those who walked in faith testified that they were seeking a better country. But if they had have known what country they had left, they might have had a chance to return. And what do you mean by that? We cannot be tempted by anything we do not think about. Did you hear that? Boy, that's powerful right there. We cannot be tempted by anything we do not think about. You know, my wife, we was somewhere one day, and she said, honey, did you see that? I go, what? What? She said, there was a car came back with advertisement of naked women all over it. I go, no, I didn't see it. She said, good. I said, where'd it go? I just wanted to make sure I wasn't watching it when it would come back by. But you get what I'm saying? I didn't see it, so I wasn't even tempted. There was a couple of times she said, honey, did you see that? I go, no, I don't see nothing. What are you talking about? And I wasn't man lying. Some of you men know what I'm talking about. Somebody or something walked by. Did you see that? I ain't seen nothing. What are you talking about? Because I'll tell her. Did you see that? Yeah, I couldn't believe that. Lord Jesus. But you cannot be tempted by what you don't see and what you don't think about. Boy, I need that to sink in, somebody. My wife and I have been married 30 years. And I want you to know that all 30 ain't being like just woo-hoo. Because sometimes she don't act right, Karen. Y'all know. They know. Now, we've been married. This is my wife back. For those of y'all looking, this is my wife. And we've been married 30 years. And all of them hadn't been wonderful. Most of them have. I'd say probably 27, 28 of them have been great. But collectively, that's probably been a couple of years in there. We didn't like each other. And you look so much younger. Sorry about that. Yeah. Focus on it. I saw you from up there. I'm like, who's that young lady? Anyway. All right. So. Squirrel. Anyway. But what I was going to say is that for 30 years, her and I have never said, well, we ought to just divorce. I don't know if she's ever thought it. She says she didn't, but you know her. But I can tell you, we never verbalized it. And that's the problem with some couples. The first thing, well, we'll just get divorced. Because what you think about, what you contemplate, you will eventually do. I'm going to say it again. What you contemplate, what you think about, you will eventually do. And if you do that, how can you, you can't have access to the power of God doing what you know you shouldn't be doing. What we consider the most is the thing that we will be tempted to do. Am I making sense to you? Here's what Paul said. He said, give no place to the devil. No place. When we give in to negative emotions, we give him place. So do not embrace anxious thoughts or negative thoughts. Don't embrace them. You can't help sometimes having them, but don't embrace them. Those thoughts will come, but we are not to have to reach out and embrace them by speaking them. Now, I don't want us leaving here tonight being the speech police. You know, when I'm sick, oh, you ought not say that. You ain't sick. You just feeling bad. You ain't sick. And by the name of Jesus, I'm not talking about that. Spiritually, our stomach. I'm done. Come on back. Go. You know what? Go, Proverbs 18 and 20. 18 and 20. Go.
A man's stomach shall be satisfied from the fruit of his mouth. From the produce of his lips, he shall be filled.
Yes.
Death and life are in the power of the tongue, and in those who love it will eat its fruit. Simply put, that you're going to eat of that which you speak. Come on, stand here and eat with me. Here I am.
Thank you for joining us today. We hope you are blessed by listening to this message and invite you to join us at our Crystal River campus. We meet for service on Sundays at 8:30 a.m. and 11 a.m. Our midweek service and youth service is on Wednesday night at 7 p.m. We're located at 2180 Northwest 12th Avenue in Crystal River, Florida.